Can you picture these fellows in this small fishing boat in the midst of Galilee in the storm and the darkness? And they are men shrieking in fear. They were panicking. And what a difference. You see, faith turns trials to praise. But fear will paralyze you. I know that the Bible says fear is a snare. The fear of man is a snare. The fear to pray out loud in a church prayer meeting. The fear to open your mouth wondering how you're going to pray. Many Christians are paralyzed and prayerless in public. They can't pray in a prayer meeting. They've got degrees and education.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and we're on the air again to bring you the message of the gospel. Now we'll be dealing with Peter walking on the water, and that short-term miracle for him where he was able to walk on the water while he kept his eyes upon the Lord Jesus. And of course the Lord could do this. He walked on the water, and Peter wanted to try it too. And it does teach us a very important lesson, that there are things that the Christian can do while he is looking unto Jesus that he otherwise could never do. And we'll have a look at that in our message today. Our hymn is from the Whitfield Choir singing, "Little is Much When God is in It." We begin now with our question for today, and the question is this: are the Ten Commandments still the rule of life for the New Testament Christian? This sounds like a ridiculous question, but remember that nearly 100 years of dispensationalism through the Scofield Bible has taught that there is such a division between the Old Testament and the New that they assume that the Ten Commandments are not for today. They took a text for a pretext and made it a cliché. And you've often heard this, I'm sure: we are under grace and not under the law. Then, to crown the error, dispensationalism teaches that on the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus abrogated the Ten Commandments. They took such terms as, "But I say unto you," as if the Lord was doing away with the old law and introducing a new. Firstly, let me say that God is still God, the Bible is still the Bible, and the gospel still calls Christians to a higher order of morality, not to a lower standard. Grace empowers us to live better, not worse. Because of the added light of the New Testament, Christians are to be more holy and more Christ-like, not less. If anyone would name one commandment that is no longer the rule of life for the Christian, what would it be? Can it be, "Thou shalt have no other gods"? Should Christians make images of God's likeness? Can Christians take God's name in vain? Should Christians have less honor for their parents than Old Testament believers, especially when this commandment is quoted by Paul the Apostle in Ephesians 6 when dealing with children and parents? Should Christians depart from the Christian Sabbath? Some say that this is not in the New Testament. Well, we know that the early first century Christians met on the first day of the week. They took up offerings on the first day of the week. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. And what does the Lord's Day mean? It is a special day, a whole day to keep and use for worship. That is what we are called to do, not mow lawns, clean windows, do golf, and play ball on the beach. What about killing, adultery, stealing, coveting? It is so ridiculous to even suggest that these Ten Commandments do not apply to the Christian as a rule of life. Now, we know that we are not saved by commandment keeping. We are saved by grace unto good works. And if we want to know what are good works versus evil works, read the Ten Commandments. John says that to the Christian, the commandment is not grievous. That is because when we are born again or regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he lives in our hearts to rule our desires, the law is written in our hearts. What law is that? It is the moral law, the rule of moral good and evil. Now this is so powerful in the convert's life that he is a new creature. All things pass away and all things become new. The things we once loved we hate, and the things we hated we now love. Those things which we now love are the things that please our Heavenly Father, His law and His word of guidance into all His good will. So without a doubt, the answer to this question is the Ten Commandments are the rule of life for the Christian in every age. How shall we apply this to our lives? Well, the only thing that we can do is to start today and take those commandments and make them the rule of what we're to do for God and what we are to depart from for God. The Ten Commandments apply to the Christian today. And again, I say, this is not the way by which we are saved, because no one can be a perfect law keeper. God demands perfection. Only the Lord Jesus kept the law perfectly. And he, on the cross, laid down his life to wash us from our sins because of the broken law. And this is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. This teaches us that we are sinners. We have failed. If we do not understand the nature of the broken law, we do not understand the nature of sin. Sin is any want of transgression of the law of God, and any want of conformity to the law of God, or the transgression of it. And so that law is God's holy, inflexible standard. Now, I trust that you will take that question to heart and that you will apply it to your life, especially when we ask the question, what is God's will for the Christian? Now, the God's will is to be holy. God's will is to be morally upright. But in real terms, what does that mean? It means that we are to keep those Ten Commandments, that summary of the law of God. Now, our Lord Jesus also taught that we are to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. And there is the great test of our heart's affection, of our love for God. And of course, if we love the Lord with all our hearts, we will love his law, and we will be like the psalmist who delights to do the will of God day and night. I hope this is of help, and that the Lord will use this in your life to guide you into all truth, that you might know and do his will. Praise God, there is power for the Christian when you have Christ living in you and you're born of the Spirit. You're not alone. You have the Holy Spirit in you to dwell in you, to live in your soul, and to make you strong for him. Now, I trust that you will stay tuned with us right through the program. We're going to be turning to our message on the walking on water, and now Little Is Much When God Is In It, sung by the Whitfield Choir. Thank you for joining with us on Let the Bible Speak today.
Another thing about faith is that it turns toil into joyous service. If you look at verse 24, you'll notice that it was hard going for these sailors on the ship. The ship was now in the midst of the sea, and it was nighttime, by the way. The Lord was up on the mountain praying. They were told to go ahead in the ship, and darkness came down, and the sea was tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Do you ever find times in your life that it seems just like that? Everything's contrary. Everything's a struggle. And everything I attempt, I seem to get blown backwards. The wind is contrary to us. And our labor and our Christianity and our very best efforts at serving God is a toil. It's a toil. Until, of course, the Lord came and met them. What a difference it made. What a difference. What happens to many people is that the Christian life, church life, service for God becomes such a toil, they end up giving up. They just give up. And they either say, God is not real, or this church is not for me, or I don't seem to be able to fit in here. And all the while, they've been living in unbelief, not exercising faith. And it seems everything's contrary because of unbelief. But when the Lord came, what a difference. And when the Lord said, "It is I, be of good cheer," it is I. Don't be afraid. I'm in control. I'm in the midst of your life. I'm keeping an eye on what's going on here. I know all about it. And when they could see it was the Lord, it turned their toil into joyous service. Is anything too hard for the Lord? We don't give up when we have faith in that. We don't give up. We go on and we wait for the Lord to visit. Then down in verse 33, I would have you notice that faith delivers us from a spirit of fear. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him. Fear's over now. When they recognized it was the Lord, when they really had faith, it was over. And this is what faith does. It lifts us out of the natural into the supernatural. And they were able to say, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Of a truth. Before that, they had some unbelief about it. And just like Peter, "If thou be, of a truth, thou art the Son of God." And now they were no longer living in fear. But oh, what fear they had. Darkness, a storm. They were toiling, and they were being driven in the wrong direction. And then they saw this figure in the distance. They thought it was a spirit. And it tells us there that they cried out. And I checked out that word. It means to cry out loud. Can you picture these fellows in this small fishing boat in the midst of Galilee in the storm and the darkness? And they are men shrieking in fear. They were panicking. And what a difference. You see, faith turns trials to praise. But fear will paralyze you. I know that the Bible says fear is a snare. The fear of man is a snare. The fear to pray out loud in a church prayer meeting. The fear to open your mouth wondering how you're going to pray. Many Christians are paralyzed and prayerless in public. They can't pray in a prayer meeting. They've got degrees and education and skills in many areas. I remember one fellow in particular. He had a little bit of a, I don't know what you call it here, a stutter, a stoppage in his speech, an impediment of the normal flow. In conversation, it could hit him once in a while. And I talked to him about praying in the prayer meeting. He said, I could never do that. And then one time we had this block watch community thing coming on, and he was selling these gadgets for alarms. And he thought this would be an opportunity when the block watch was being held. He could come and present his wares, little gadgets that would protect women out walking and homes and so on. And so I was there when he made this presentation. And I tell you, I was blown away. Could that guy talk? And yet he put up all these arguments. I couldn't pray. I can't pray. What is it? What is it? It's a spiritual thing. Spiritual battle. O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Fear also hinders people to witness. Well, when's the last time you really told somebody about your Savior? What holds us back? Fear. Unbelief. Let's think about this. Multiply that now. Fear can destroy a congregation. Fear can make spiritual ministry absolutely ineffective, paralyzed. And it's all because of unbelief. O ye of little faith. Fear instills panic and a spirit of self-preservation. That's what was going on in this boat. It was all about self-preservation until they got their eyes on the Lord, until they were able to look onto Jesus. And then that changes everything. And if your Christianity and if your worship is all about self-preservation, you're paralyzed. You're greatly hindered until it's about the Lord and your faith is fixed on Him and you are strengthened in His might. Then you become a benefit, a strength, a participant, a promoter, and a helper to the work of God. So I say this, faith will revolutionize the ministry of this church. And it comes down to the faith of one by one. There's no such thing as corporate faith. It comes down to individuals' relationship with God, living by faith. And then when we come together, then it becomes a corporate expression of that faith. But it's your faith and mine. Do you want a preacher in the pulpit that is not a man of faith? Does a preacher want to preach to people who have no faith? Does a pastor want to be in a congregation where people are spiritually paralyzed through unbelief? These are the issues. I want you to think about them. I want you to ask, are you a part of the problem or are you a part of the remedy? Can you make a difference? I think we can all make a difference. And it starts with this cry, Lord, help my unbelief.
In the harvest field, nigh ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling. Aside from service, body worn from toil and care. You know, there's still a place in God's battle. In the secret place of prayer.
There's only so much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, and we thank you for joining with us on the program today. If I can be of any personal help, if you would like to receive CDs of these messages, magazines, a copy of Matthew's Gospel, perhaps you have friends, family you'd like to share these with, we have a number free of charge, courtesy of Trinitarian Bible Society. And of course, we would love to help you with having you joining us here at our church services, viewing our webcast by computer, and all this information you can get at our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca, or call us at 604-576-1091. The address of our church, for those who wish to visit or meal, is 18790 58th Avenue, Cloverdale, B.C., V3S, 1M6. We look forward to having you. Trust you'll stay with us for the rest of the program and for the announcements at the close. We'll give you these details again. May the Lord bless you today through His Word from the pulpit ministry of our Free Presbyterian Church.
That, by the way, was Thursday evening's message, which I might preach next Sunday morning. Help my unbelief. But I've got one more thing I want to say about faith. Faith inspires us to attempt great things for the Lord. Peter stepped out to do the impossible. He would have succeeded if his faith did not fail him. And this is what happens to us when we are full of faith in the Holy Ghost. Laziness and lethargy are overcome. It's that grain of mustard seed. If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, doesn't have to be big, but it has to be active and growing. What does it say? Ye shall say to this mountain, remove to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. There's real living by faith. Now the other "if ye have faith" statement is Matthew 21:21. It's worth looking at here. If ye have faith, that's the Lord Jesus' words. Matthew 21:21. I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not. Now, let's get into the mind of the Lord here. Did the Lord Jesus recognize a problem in this area? He certainly did. And he knew the minds and hearts of all to whom he was speaking. He had that distinct advantage. He could know what was in the heart of man. And he says, if ye have faith and doubt not. So obviously, that would be a problem. But if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, it shall be done. Now, this is figurative language. We're not going to move Mount Baker. We're not going to move Golden Ears. We're not going to take some hump in the field and transfer all the dirt to somewhere else. This is figurative language. This is the Lord speaking about things that are necessary in the Christian's life that need to be overcome. You can do it by faith, if you have faith and doubt not. And faith enables us to attempt things that otherwise we would never even begin. And therefore Peter, initially by faith, said, Lord, bid me come unto thee, and began to walk on the water and could do it. He could do it, keeping his eyes upon the Lord. And of course, we have many examples in the Bible of men and women of faith who did great things, what would have been impossible things, and they put their faith into action, and they accomplished much for the Lord. Until you do that, we are earthbound and paralyzed, inactive, really out of service. But faith can turn you into a David who could go out against Goliath. This little, a stripling. And while others were shaking in their boots, David, full of faith, it's all he had. Didn't have armor, didn't have muscle power, he didn't have military skill, he didn't have stature, he didn't have experience, he had nothing going for him but faith. And he's the one that went out against Goliath and slew him. Now there are Goliaths for us to slay. There's the Goliath called Satan. And he's prowling around. And he will seek to destroy the image of the Lord Jesus wherever he finds it. He needs to be slain. And how do we overcome the devil? By faith. We put on the whole armor of God and we take the shield of faith to withstand the fiery darts of the evil one. Are you doing that? Are you doing that? Then there's the Goliath of the world. And the world has awful powers against the Christian today. So many avenues of attack, so many powerful allurements.
that faith can slay the world. And then there's another Goliath. Don't have time to talk much about it now. He's not far away. In fact, one of the biggest problems I have is when people phone up from a certain part of Greater Vancouver or the country and they say, is there a church near me that you can recommend? I find that awful difficult. It's not that I don't think that unless people go to a Free Presbyterian church, they're not going to a proper church. But I've done before and got burned. Apostasy is that Goliath. It's an awful foe. How are we going to slay the giant of apostasy? How are we going to keep this church true to the Bible? How are we going to keep men and women glad that they have a place of fundamental values and worship in ways that honor the Savior? Faith. Faith. That's the answer. And if people do not have faith and they complain that this worship doesn't satisfy them, then it's unbelief. O ye of little faith. Actually, I had another point I was going to preach, but time is gone. Faith will make us bold in prayer. Let me ask you about your prayer life. How many minutes a day do you really pray? What are you asking for? Let me ask you, do you enjoy prayer? Do you have the strength to get alone with God and ask, not just for things, but for spiritual power? How much do you pray for the witness of this church? O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Do we not believe in prayer? Is God alive? Why are we not talking to him? I think we could put a sign up over the prayer meeting door sometimes, God is dead. Nobody wants to talk to him. Faith makes us bold in prayer, and to enjoy it and know the benefit and power of it. Let's examine our hearts today. I praise God that you are like Peter. You got out of the boat and started walking. But somewhere we can lose it. We need to get our eyes on the Lord. Keep on believing.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.